Go ahead and turn to Acts chapter number 13, Acts chapter 13, or you have an app on your phone, Acts chapter 13. We'll read just one verse in a moment, go to the Lord in a word of prayer as we look at this thought of being faithful in your generation, being faithful in your generation. Acts chapter 13, right after the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John 13, we'll look at just one verse and think on this thought, faithful in your generation. Notice what the Bible says, as Dr. Luke writes in Acts chapter 13 and verse 36. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. Father, we come before you this afternoon. Father, we thank you for the work that you've done in hearts and lives, Father, across these graduates' churches this Sunday morning, Father. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that as we open up your word one more time this afternoon, Father, that you would bless the preaching and teaching of your word. Father, may it not fall on deaf ears. Father, may your graduates pay attention. Father, receive what we have for them this day. And Father, for those who have not graduated, Father, this message is still applicable to them. And I pray, Father, they'll look at it as something that they need to hear as well. And then, Father, we do ask this, if there be someone here, Father, even at a Bible graduation, Father, that they don't know Christ as their own personal Savior, that before they leave the building this afternoon, they might pull one of us aside and let us share with them how they might know Christ in a real and personal way. So, Father, we love you. We thank you for what you've done in the graduates' lives these past 2 years. Looking forward to what you're going to do in their lives in the future years. Blessing now, this time, in this message. We pray now and ask these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, graduates, family, and friends that are gathered here at Sharon Baptist Church, thank you for coming. This is a joyful but also a sacred moment. Graduates, you have given 2 years of your life. I don't think any of you failed and had to take another class, did you? No, 2 years of your life, a study of the Word of God. You sat in the classroom. You listened to the teachers. You written some summaries. You answered quizzes online. You memorized scriptures. And you prepared your heart and mind for the calling that God has specifically placed upon your life. And tonight, I want to ask you a simple question. And I want to ask that simple question even to those that are out in their auditorium this very evening. When your life is over, what will God be able to say about you? I'm going to repeat that. When your life is over, what is God going to be able to say about you? The Bible said of King David in our text, for David, after he served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep. Think about that. What a powerful epitaph. That is a life that was well lived. And graduates of Hampton Roads School of the Bible, I want to challenge you with three truths this very afternoon. First of all, you have one generation to serve. For David, after he served his, get the wording, own generation. David didn't live in Moses' day, unless you think he did, but he didn't. He didn't even live in Paul's day, and surely he did not. But God placed David in a specific time with specific people and specific opportunities. And likewise, God has placed you as graduates of Hampton Roads School of the Bible in this generation. Think about it. It's the age of the internet. It's the age of social media. It's the age of everyone carrying a cell phone with them. In the midst of all this moral confusion, where many hearts are broken and minds are troubled, God has specifically placed you here. Understand, you're not here by accident. You're not in Hampton Roads by accident. You didn't come to this Bible school by accident. God has ordered and arranged and ordained your steps for you to be here at this graduation. I think of a dear lady in the Bible by the name of Esther. You remember Mordecai. Mordecai said to Esther, "And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such as time as this?" In Esther 4 and verse 14. Esther had one moment. Esther had one window of opportunity to stand for her people. And think about it. If she would have ran from that responsibility, if she would have ran from that opportunity, she would have missed the reason that God placed her there in the palace where she was. Graduates, God has put you into the kingdom for such a time as this. You may serve in a pulpit someday, perhaps a classroom, maybe a mission field, maybe a Sunday school room at your local New Testament church, maybe even at your workplace or your own home. But wherever you go from the Hampton Road School of the Bible, God has given you this generation, and the time is now for you to serve. I want you to consider this one thought this afternoon. What does serving my generation mean to me? What does serving my generation mean to me in terms of people living and breathing right now? What does God have for you? What has He ordained you to do? Imagine a long race where each runner would carry a torch, perhaps maybe like the Olympic, when they light the Olympic torch. They run for months, each runner carrying a torch. One runner can't run every leg of the race. It's physically, emotionally impossible for him to do that. He runs his part, then he passes the torch on to the next person. Think about this. Abraham ran his leg. Moses ran his leg. David ran his leg. Paul, the apostle, ran his leg. And men and women of God throughout history have had their run for the glory of God. Now, graduates of Hampton Roads School of the Bible, the torch has now been placed in each of your individual hands. It's your turn to run the race. Don't drop the torch of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't hide under fear or convenience. Run your race with faithfulness. Run your race with courage that the Holy Spirit of God will embolden you. I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul penned in Hebrews 12 in verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with such a great of cloud of witnesses, notice this part, lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before you. C.T. Studd, who was a British cricketer, who became a missionary to China and India and later to Africa, wrote this in a poem. He said, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Kind of reminded of Paul writing to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 24. He says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth a prize. So run that ye may obtain. Graduates of the Hampton Roads School of the Bible, run that ye may obtain the prize, the rewards that Christ has for you at Judgment Day. Well, not only do you have one generation to serve, but notice secondly, you are to serve your generation, notice this, by the will of God. The Bible says for David, after he had served his own generation, notice the last couple of the words, by the will of God. This verse doesn't say David did it by his own ambition. The Bible doesn't say David did it by his own flesh or by the trends of the day. It said he did it, but by the will of God. And this world constantly tells us this, oh, just follow your heart. How many times have you heard that? If you watch Lifetime Movie Network, you hear that all the time. Just follow your heart. Do what you think's right. Just follow your heart. But understand this, that's totally opposite of what the Bible says. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. It doesn't say follow your heart. It says trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. So here at Hampton Roads School of the Bible, your instructors really haven't tried to fill your head with information, because information really doesn't do us all that much good. But they have sought to point you to God's will for your life. Notice, God's will is about who you are, not just about what you do. Some graduates maybe are thinking today, well, what should I do now? What should I do now? What is God's calling on my life now? Should I teach in a Sunday school class? Should I start? Should I preach the gospel? What does God have for me? But God's will begins with your character. In 1 Thessalonians 4, 3, again, Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica says this, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. And so before God is concerned about a position that He has for you, He's concerned about your purity. So guard your heart, guard your mind, and yes, guard your personal salvation testimony. You might have earned a diploma here today, and you might even get a new position somewhere based upon what you have received today. But remember this, if your character is not strong, everything else is going to crumble around you. Well, secondly, notice this, God's will is only revealed through His Word. You spent years here at Hampton Roads School of the Bible studying the King James Bible. Now, my friends, you must really begin to live it. My favorite verse that my mother wrote into my Bible after I first received Christ as my Savior many years ago is Psalm 119 and verse 105. It goes like this, "The Word is the lamp unto my feet and the light unto my path." God will never lead you to do anything or say anything contrary to the Word of God. If God's Word says, don't do it, my friend, then it's not God's will for you to do it. When you face decisions, open up your Bible before you open up your phone and get with AI or get with Google. Let the Scriptures, not the culture, shape your convictions and your morals. Let the King James Bible that you studied in these classrooms become your guide and obey outside these walls of this church and these classrooms. Notice thirdly, God's will often involves humble and hidden servants. When you think of David, we think of David, a couple of things come to mind. First thing that pops in my mind, well, he was a king, and yes, he was a king. But before the throne, guess what? There was sheep. David was a lonely shepherd boy. He was faithful in the fields when no one else was watching him. He was faithful. And God prepared him in secret so they could use him in public in the coming years. I think of a pastor who serves in a small congregation for decades, years and years and years he served. The world doesn't know his name. You can put his name on the internet and no one will even know who you're talking about unless you're from that local congregation. He has no big platforms. He doesn't have any best-selling number one books. He's never invited to the Sword of the Lord conference to preach the Word of God, yet he faithfully opens the Bible week after week, visits the sick, prays for his people, and loves the community that God has placed him in. He may never trend online. If he does have a Twitter account, there's probably only about 15 or 20 people following him. But in heaven's record, he has served his generation by the will of God. Some of you are serving in small churches now. Some of you may serve in small churches. Some of you may serve in children's ministries or maybe on bus routes or van ministries, in nursing homes or those that are behind the scenes roles in your local New Testament church. Here's the truth. Don't measure your ministry by numbers. Don't measure it by likes. Don't measure it by how many views that you get or by how much recognition and honor you get. Measure your effectiveness by your faithfulness to God's will and the place where God has put you. 1 Corinthians 4:2 tells us this. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Well, not only do you have one generation to serve, but you also serve your generation according to God's will. But then notice, thirdly, and then we'll be done. One day, you'll fall on sleep and have to give an account. Our text says this, for David, after he served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep. In other words, that means he didn't take a nap. That means he died. And was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. That means he died and his body was corrupted and rotted in the grave. And this is really a sober reality in this verse. David's life ended. And guess what? Yours is going to end one day as well. Mine is going to end. Everyone in here, unless the rapture happens, is going to face a death and corruption. You understand that life is very short. I just told our one of our deacons who makes the announcements on Sunday, I sat down and I'm thinking, can you believe it's already May? I'm still thinking back when Christmas was. I'm still thinking about a Thanksgiving turkey, and here it's May, amen. Bible school's pushing the door, amen. That's what comes. And then school, I mean, it just goes so fast. I'm reminded of James 4 and verse 14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? A vapor that appeareth for a while and then vanish away. You may feel that your whole life is in front of you. And guess what? It may be in front of you. But even a long life is still just a vapor. Use your imagination for just a moment. Imagine a long rope that's stretching from this pulpit all the way out the door and all the way down the street for about a mile or so. The first inch of that rope is colored red. That red represents your life here on earth. And the rest of the rope illustrates and represents eternity. Most people live only for that red inch. They forget about the endless white rope of eternity. You understand that our life is short. And graduates of the Hampton Roads School of the Bible, don't live for that red inch. Live in light of eternity, that long rope that extends forever and ever. Well, life is short, but then notice something else. One day you will stand before Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10 tells us this. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive things done in their body according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad. The purpose of your training here is not to receive these wonderful diplomas and these big rocks over here. That's not what your purpose was. And the purpose is not for us to shake your hands and congratulate you and get a picture over here that you can frame an 8x10 picture and show everybody you're a graduate of the Hampton Roads School of the Bible. It's not even to hear these words that perhaps someday we may hear from our Savior. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You're to preach the Word of God. You're to teach the Word of God. You're to minister as though you were answered to God for every word that you speak, my friend, because you will answer to God for that. You're to witness as though you're answered to God for every soul that you don't witness to. And my friend, you will answer to God for that. And you're to live as though every day might be your very last opportunity to serve Christ faithfully, because your life is but a vapor, it just might be. Well, life is short and you'll stand before Christ, but then notice the comfort of falling asleep in Christ. For the believer, death is often pictured as sleep. Why? Because it's not the end. You see, 1 Thessalonians 4:13 tells us this. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Your years of study have come to an end. Your public ministry one day is going to come to an end. But your fellowship with Jesus Christ will never end, because it will extend when we get to heaven. So don't serve in fear, serve in hope. Well, to the graduates, let me give you a quick charge that you can take with you today. Number one, be a person of the book. You study the King James Bible here at Hampton Roads School of the Bible, and don't let it become a textbook that you once have read to earn this diploma. Let it be your daily bread. Christ said this in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Read it daily. Memorize it regularly. Meditate upon it. Preach and teach it with conviction and clarity. Let all those that you minister to say this about you. Here is a man. Here is a woman of the book. Well, number two, love people deeply. Ministry is not about people. It's about people, not programs. And sometimes I think when you first jump into ministry, we're more worried about programs and plans than we are people. You need to love that difficult church member. Love that wandering teenager. Love that lonely widow. Love the skeptic who questions everything that you believe. And let people see Christ's love in your eyes. And let it see it in your words and your actions. Number three, stay humble and teachable. Education is not the end. It is really just the beginning. James 4:6 says this, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Graduates, you have learned much from the faculty and staff here at Hampton Roads School of the Bible. They poured into you not only lessons, but they poured their lives into you. Listen to older pastors and missionaries. Learn from those who have suffered and remain faithful. Admit when you are wrong. And keep growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then fourthly, endure the hardness as a good soldier. Paul told Timothy, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 3. I'm just going to tell you right now, there'll be discouragements that are going to come your way. There'll be sermons or Sunday school lessons or devotions or many messages that seem just to fall flat even as they come out of your mouth. People, let me help you, are going to disappoint you. Finances are going to be tight oftentimes. There'll be questions that are asked that you cannot answer. But here's the trick. You don't have to know the answer because the answer is already in the book. This is what you say. Listen, that's a great question. I need to do a little bit more studying up on that matter. I'll get back with you on Tuesday and give you the answer to your question. There's no shame in that. Nobody can know everything in this book. Amen? And so there you go. You have a way out. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to witness for Christ. And they ask you these crazy questions like, can God make a rock so big that he can't lift it himself? You know, crazy questions they have. Listen, I'm simply saying this. Don't quit. Many years ago, there was a Sunday school teacher faithfully taught a young boy about Jesus Christ. And that teacher never became famous. In fact, we barely even know that man's name. But that boy that he taught was a man we came to know. And that man's name was D.L. Moody. He would go on to reach thousands upon thousands for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you may never see that kind of fruit in your ministry, this side of heaven. But God sees every faithful act that you do. He tells us in Galatians 6:9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. To the faculty and staff of Hampton Roads School of the Bible, thank you for your labors, often unseen and very often even unthanked. But thank you for your labors. But understand, we may not thank you, but in the eyes of God, you have done a great thing. You prayed for your students. You prepared lessons. You even given counsel to your students. And you have modeled what it means to love Jesus Christ and his word. And I thank you for that. Part of what these graduates accomplished for Jesus Christ is going to be fruit that abounds to your all account because of what you poured out into their life. To the family and friends that are gathered here today, thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for the sacrifices that you have made to allow these graduates to come here and learn the Word of God. You've encouraged these graduates during times of fatigue, times of uncertainty, and yes, even times of self-doubt. Today, guess what? You get to share in their joy. Graduates, your generation is waiting for you. Graduates of the Hampton Roads School of the Bible, as you receive your diplomas in just a moment or two, and you walk out of this auditorium, you enter into a world that is confused about the truth. They're hungry for hope. They're desperate for the genuine love that Jesus Christ provides. And it is a great need of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God hasn't called you to be perfect. He's called you to be faithful. And the more faithful you are to him, the more faithful you are to the word, the more perfect you would be. In Acts 13, verse 36, for David, after he served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep. May it be said of you guys graduating today that you served your generation and that you did so by the will of God, and that when your race is finished, you'll be ready and glad to meet the Lord. Graduates, I charge each and every one of you, present your life a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service, according to Romans 12 and verse 1. Follow the Lord wherever he leads you from Hampton Roads School of the Bible. Serve your generation with courage, compassion, and conviction. Let's pray.